Good afternoon, everyone,
and welcome to the main stage seminar program for the Trading and Investing Expo. I know that you're all here to hear Roger Montgomery on how to pick the best value stocks and what to buy right now. There are many good reasons for that. Roger has extensive experience in investments, in the funds management and investment management space, and not only is he writing his own book at the moment, but he's been featured in several, including Young Guns on the Stock Market, Australia's new breed of moneymakers. So please join me in welcoming Roger Montgomery.
Oh, good afternoon, everyone. Many of you have heard of me before, either through my former career as a fund manager, or you may have visited my blog recently. Actually, who's contributed? Who in this group has contributed to the blog? Okay, a couple of you. Nice to see you all. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to show you what I believe to be a very, an incredibly simple way to pick the best companies at the best price. Now, that sounds like a very big promise. I've been managing money now, or working as a trader or an investor professionally, for almost 20 years. And only in the last, 8 or 9 months do I really feel strongly that I've actually nailed it, that I've actually found out the thing that links Warren Buffett, the most profitable investor in the world, to Jim Chanos, who runs the biggest short fund in the world. I found a little ratio that they all seem to have in common that they don't talk about very much, and that they all use in different ways to find great companies that are cheap or really bad companies that are expensive. If you can avoid the really bad companies that are expensive, and only buy the really good companies when they're at discounts to their intrinsic value, then you can't help but over long periods of time to do very well. Okay, now, I don't expect you to read all that, but I'm required to give it to you. Let me just summarise this. You could lose money. Has anyone lost money in the stock market before? Yes. So you know what I'm talking about. Okay. Now, there's three parts. There's three parts to reinventing investing, and they're very, very simple steps. The first one that you can see is you've got to avoid bad companies. And there's no shortage of them on the Australian stock market. You might own some. In fact, I'm sure you have owned some in the past. You need to uncover great stocks, and you need to know how to pay less for those great companies. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk to you about today is the extraordinary secret to picking the very best stocks, and if you like, the extraordinary secret to avoiding the very worst. Okay, here's what Warren Buffett said, and there's a lot of quotes that I think are analysed inappropriately. There's a lot of things that Buffett says that are designed to give you the essence of what he's talking about without actually giving any of the secrets away, for obvious reasons. There's a competitive advantage in what he does. Okay, so he says, what you really want are businesses earning good rates of return on equity while employing little or no debt. So good rates of return on equity while employing little or no debt. I wonder whether or not you know how many businesses in your portfolio have little or no debt. You'll be surprised to know that there's a large number of companies in Australia generating very high rates of return on their equity with little or no debt. Now, when I'm talking about return on equity, I'm comparing the money, the rate of return that you get on the money you put in a business compared to the rate of return you might get for putting your money in a bank account. So if you put your money in a bank account right now, let's say a term deposit for 90 days or a year, for example. I know Westpac's got a term deposit at the moment for a year that offers 6.4%. The return on your equity is 6.4%. Your equity is the money you put on deposit. That's your equity. The return on it is 6.4%. There are companies in the Australian stock market today run by very, very good managers that are generating 85% returns on equity. Now, you can't get that in a bank account, but that's what you're trying to achieve. So here is a business. It's a mysterious company. Let me just say this at the outset. You know this company. You already know what this company is. It's listed on the Australian stock market. I want to show you some numbers. I've got some numbers here from 2000 and some numbers here from 2010. I'll just stand over here. So I've got the profit figure from the year 2000 for this company was $517 million. And the profit this year is forecast to be $267 million. Now, let me ask you a question very quickly. If I offered you the opportunity to invest in a business that in 10 years' time was earning half of what it was earning this year, would you be interested in investing in that business? All right, so I'm going to paint a deeper picture about this company. In 2000, if we got together and we wanted to start this business, we wanted to get it running, we put $2.8 billion of our own money into this business. So we inject $2.8 billion in and we earn $517 million. Oh, by the way, one more thing. We borrow $3 billion from the bank as well. So we've put in almost $3 billion of our own money and borrowed $3 billion from the bank. Fast forward to 2010, we're earning half as much, but we've had to tip in an additional $3 billion of our own money to keep the business going. And we've also had to borrow an additional $2.4 billion on top of the $3 billion that we borrowed 10 years ago. Now let me ask you the question. Is this a good business or a bad business? Okay. Warren Buffett has another really relevant quote here. He says this, if you're not prepared to own the whole business, don't buy a little piece of it. In other words, if you're not prepared to own the whole thing, we've already decided we wouldn't want to own that. Buffett says you shouldn't even own one share in it. And if you're not prepared to own it for 10 years, don't own it for 10 minutes. And that's investing. Okay, now let me demonstrate this again. The return, the way to think about this, and this is the ratio I was talking about earlier. The way to think about this is we've put in $3 billion and that additional $3 billion on top of what we put in at the start has lost $250 million. We're getting a negative return on incremental equity. And it's the return on incremental equity that Jim Chanos focuses on when he sold short Enron, before Enron collapsed. It's the ratio that Warren Buffett looked at when he bought See's Candy. It's a ratio that you don't see talked about at all in the press. But it's the one thing that's important in assessing whether a business is investment grade or not. Okay, let's look at it in pictures. Okay, so we've talked about that. Okay, so here it is. So we've got our 2000 profit of $517 million. We've got our 2009-2010 profit of half. We injected $3 billion of equity in 2000. We've had to put $6 billion of equity in by the end of 2009-2010. Here's our debt 10 years ago and our debt today. That is dramatically bad. Does anyone want to take a stab at what company this is? Nufarm. It's not Nufarm. I'll show you what company it is after I show you what's happened to the return on incremental equity. So that's what's happened to the return, and here's the company. Okay. So Qantas is a business that we all love because it allows us to go and visit our family at Christmas. It allows us to travel overseas in comfort, arguably. But it doesn't make a return that makes economic sense. You wouldn't want to own Qantas outright. Okay, let's contrast that. Let's compare that to another company. Okay, Benjamin Graham said, in the short run, the market is a voting machine. It's a popularity contest, reflecting a voter registration test that requires only money, not intelligence or emotional stability. In other words, the people who are trading shares, not us of course, but everybody else, they're buying and selling shares on a daily basis and moving prices around, and Graham was saying they are neither intelligent nor emotionally stable. As a result, prices in the short term are bipolar in nature. In other words, in the short term, prices do all sorts of crazy things that have nothing to do with the underlying company. But in the long run, the market is a weighing machine. In the long run, prices follow value. So let's have a look at the intrinsic value of Qantas over 10 years. That's what the value of Qantas has done in the last 10 years. The intrinsic value of Qantas today is less than what it was 10 years ago. The only thing I'm going to talk to you about today is a book that you heard that I've been writing a book. Well, it's actually now available for sale. So what that book does is explain in detail what I've been talking today about. So if you miss any of it, don't worry. It's all explained in there. Okay, so what do you think the price must have done over 10 years if that's what the intrinsic value's done? Let's have a look. It's done nothing. The price today is less than the price 10 years ago. Okay, so avoiding the bad companies is easy. And that's the first thing I wanted to talk to you about today. Okay, the next part is, what does an extraordinary business look like? What does a great business look like? Well, here are the numbers for a great business. This is a company called Oriton. Has anyone got an Oriton handbag with them? Yep, one person. Well done. Two. Okay, I'm sure there's more because some of you said you weren't going to put your hand up no matter what I asked. Okay, so 5 years ago, Oriton was earning $1.6 million. This year it's going to earn $22.75 million. That's an increase of $21 million. That's a phenomenal result. Have a look at how much additional capital has been put into the business. There was $16.5 million of equity in the business 10 years ago. An additional $10.5 million has been put in. But when you compare the growth in profits that the additional capital has generated, it's 198% return. Try getting that in a bank account. That is a great result. That is a fantastic number. So the return on incremental equity is 198%. The debt has actually fallen from $22 million to 5.6. So there's the profit in 2005. There's the profit in 2010. There's the equity in 2005. The equity in 2010. The debt in 2005. And the debt in 2010. And here's what return on equity has done. Return on equity now is 85% at Oriton. You cannot get that in a bank account. Now, if Benjamin Graham was right, and in the long term the market is a weighing machine, in other words, in the long term price follows value, let's have a look at what value and price have done. So there's the intrinsic value. Now, you might be asking, how do I calculate that intrinsic value? It's in the book, and I'll give you a quick example in just a moment. What would the share price have done? Is Benjamin Graham right? Has the share price followed value? Is the stock market a weighing machine? Yes. Uncovering amazing companies is easy too. And that's the second thing I wanted to talk to you about today. Okay. Now, sir, I'm just going to ask, because I spend a lot of time putting these slides together, could I just ask that you don't photograph them? Thanks. Okay. Part three, the incredibly simple way to get more than you paid for when you're investing in the stock market. Value investing, I think, is a really simple idea. All we're trying to do is pay less than the value we receive. If price is what we pay and value is what we get, then all we want to do is pay less than the value we receive. Now, that's very different to trading. A trader tries to buy today and sell in some short time period at a higher price. It's a little bit like, to me, it's a little bit like putting your money on black and hoping in a week's time it'll be black. Or putting it on red and hoping next week it'll be red. I can't tell you what the price is going to do in the short term. I don't know. I am no good at forecasting prices. What I'm trying to demonstrate here is that you don't need to be good at forecasting prices. What you need to be able to do is understand whether or not the intrinsic value of a business is going up. Because over long periods of time, if the intrinsic value is rising, so is the price. So, where are all the answers to this? In the book, you've got a form right there. If you fill that out with your credit card details and leave it with Janine at the Educated Investor Bookshop, we'll make sure that a book is sent out to you next week. Okay, So here are the numbers you need to calculate the intrinsic value of a company. You need the equity per share and the equity per share for using this particular method that I'm going to show you is $5.53 for 2009 and $5.98 for 2000. Okay, so we'll cover it with Woolies. 27.5% return on equity for Woolworths. By the way, does anyone shop at Woolies? Yes. Has anyone vowed to themselves that they'll never shop at Woolies again? 2-3 people. I won't ask you why. It's really interesting. On my blog, a bunch of people have talked about bad experiences at Coles and bad experiences at Woolies. And for that reason, they're not going to invest in those companies. My response is, that is a minority view. And I suspect people will be buying their produce from Coles and Woolworths for the next 10, 20, 30 years, without any shadow of a doubt. Okay. So, 27.5%. Can you get 27.5% in a bank account? Yes or no? Absolutely not. And what return do we want on our money? Well, Warren Buffett says we should aim for a 10% after-tax return. I use after-tax returns to begin with. So we use a 10% return. In fact, I only use after-tax returns. Okay. So if you open up my book, there's a couple of tables in there, and we're going to need two numbers here. We're going to have to go down the 10% column and the 27.5% row and pick up that number. We do the same on the next page. We pick up that number. We plug those numbers in and multiply the equity by those numbers and then multiply those numbers by the payout ratio. So what percentage of the earnings are paid out as a dividend? And what percentage of the earnings are retained in the company? And by the way, if you've ever heard of a guy named James Walter, that's where this idea has come from. He wrote a paper in 1956. It's straight out of there. Okay, so the numbers are $11.51 and $11.08. If we combine those two together, we combine those two numbers together for 2009, we get an intrinsic value of $22.59. So Woolworths is worth its fundamental intrinsic value is $22.59, and in 2010, using the forecast numbers, it's $26.45. Now, can anyone tell me what the price of Woolies is today? About 28, is it? $27, $28. All right, so it's got to drop a bit before I, as a value investor, would be interested in purchasing a lot of shares in Woolworths. There's a lot of press out at the moment about Woolworths and it's not positive. Has anyone read some negative press about Woolies? Yes? Okay. So there's some press coming out that's negative. Do you know what that provides? That provides an opportunity for Benjamin Graham's voting machine to vote against Woolworths. If everyone starts voting against Woolworths, what'll happen to the share price? It'll drop. My sincere hope is that it drops well below the intrinsic value of Woolworths, because that will give me an opportunity to buy this company cheap. Why would I be interested in buying it? Because I don't think its return on equity is going to drop dramatically over the next 3, 5, or 10 years. Okay, and there's a chart over the last 10 years of Woolworth's share price and its intrinsic value. And again, Benjamin Graham was right. In the long run, the market is a weighing machine. In the long run, price follows value. In other words, if you can correctly estimate the intrinsic value of a company, what you will find is that the share price should follow that intrinsic value. And you don't even need to predict the price and where it's going to go next week or the week after or even next year. Okay, so working out what to pay for a company is simple too. And that's the third thing that I wanted to talk to you about today. Oh, and there's one more thing actually. So the last thing I want to show you is a very short list of companies, four companies that I think are my A1 businesses. So when I put in all my secret herbs and spices, these are the four, and there's a few more actually, but these are four companies that I think are top quality businesses on the Australian market right now. Okay, and they are Cochlear, CSL, JB Hi-Fi, and Oriton. All businesses that you've heard of, But in that sea of confusion that is the stock market, when you read the newspaper, you're looking in the newspaper, it talks about all these great stories, all these great things that are happening to all of these different companies. How can you narrow it down to A1 businesses, the best quality businesses? There's about 40 of them, 40 to 50 companies that I think are A1 businesses. And I've given you four here. If you pick up my book, if you fill out those forms and pick up the book and you receive that book next week, I think you'll be on the right path to becoming a successful value investor, provided you're not in too much of a rush. Thank you very much for your time today. Thanks.